I had some super exciting happenings in my family this week, which is that on Tuesday, my nephew Levi Joseph was born. He's the fifth child of my sister and her husband, so that's super exciting. He was the fourth boy of five children in that family. God bless their little sister Claire. So, thank you. Yeah, thanks, Owen. Yeah, there you go. So, healthy baby boy, 7 pounds even, 20 and 1/2 inches long, 10 fingers and 10 toes. Mom's fine, dad's fine. Some of the siblings are a little jealous, but no one's totally blown up yet, so I'm sure that's coming. So, Levi Joseph, his name. Levi was born on Tuesday. I got to see him yesterday for the first time, which is awesome. Like brand new babies. You just don't remember how small babies are when they're first born until you like hold one that's only a few days old. So I got to hold him at 5 days old and his entire head like just fits like right in the palm of your hand. And of course their arms and their legs at that point are just super spindly. You know, they're just like, there's no meat on them at all. They're just so skinny. And their natural reaction is to just kind of like ball, scrunch right up. That's all they really know how to do is just kind of be scrunched. It was so good. There's something so humanizing about that experience. Babies can teach us a lot, I think, about ourselves. One of the things that is very clear about a baby's life is that a baby knows that a baby is pretty helpless. And so it has no problem whatsoever screaming and crying if it needs something, right? Because it knows that that usually, right, it needs to be changed or needs to be fed. And so when something's not right, he can't make it right for himself, so he just cries. And then it gets made right, and then he's fine again, and he goes back to sleep. So it was exciting when I was visiting. He was actually awake for about an hour, and it's fascinating because he's still at this stage where his eyes are trying to focus in on the world around him, but he can't quite. He kind of like stares blankly still, but not really. And they're just so inquisitive, even at 5 days old. And of course, after about an hour of holding him, he got hungry, so my sister fed him, and then he just, right back to sleep. He was gone. And when babies are sleeping, after they've been fed, they're like dead to the world. You can move them in any position you want, right? They're not going to wake up because they're just sleeping. They're satisfied. They found their peace. It's just curious for me to think about this fact that, you know, as that is so common and normal for a baby, that experience of being in need and finding peace in something besides oneself, I think that's an experience that begins as an infant but continues really throughout our whole lives. We learn this, it's almost innate within us, right, as babies, as toddlers, as children, that there are things that we need that we can not provide for ourselves. And then in order for us to find whatever our heart seeks in that moment, we have to go to another, and it's the other who provides us the peace that we seek. And this continues well into adulthood, and I think Jesus really knows this, because this is the very experience that the Lord, I think, mentions and speaks about in this day's gospel. Jesus here at the Last Supper with his apostles, and he says that peace is what I leave with you. Peace is what I give to you. And not as the world gives, do I give it to you. And I say all these things to you before they happen, so that when they happen, you may believe. See, God, in his goodness to us, really reveals to us how peace, the peace that God gives, and remembrance of who gives that peace, are so connected with each other, right? Peace and remembrance, really, really connected. And it comes for us in our own experience from the moment that we're infants. We remember as infants, even though we don't have the ability to use that faculty yet, we like instinctively remember as infants that my peace comes from without of me. My peace comes from another. And every time that I'm hungry and I remember that well, if I just cry, then it will happen. Whatever needs to happen, it will happen. And as we grow, I think this is one of the ways in which we find fullness in our lives. That how good is it for us to remember, you know, especially the memories of the things that we have enjoyed most, the things that we're most grateful for, the people that we're most grateful for, the memories that really have filled us. We use that memory to bring us again the joy from it that we seek, the peace from it that we seek. And all of this, right, all of this experience, I think, is meant to be a lesson for us in the way that God really communicates his own life to us. God communicates his own life to us by the way the peace of our heart seeks, and we do that in remembering. So then how providential, right, that this reading as well happens on Memorial Day weekend, where we have this kind of national holiday of doing what? Remembering. Remembering all of those who came before us, whose love for us, even though they didn't know us, they sacrificed their lives for us so that we could enjoy peace. And so that we could have, right, the serenity of being able to freely walk into a church on Sunday and not have any problem with that in the world. You know, Memorial Day was kind of an impromptu holiday that began the year after the Civil War ended, 1866. Now, it never became an official national holiday until 1971, but it's been celebrated since the conclusion of our own Civil War. And it's sort of famously recounted that in the year following, in 1866 in Waterloo, New York, the community got together to say, no, this is important for us to remember. We're going to remember what was done for us. We're going to remember how hard it was, what it cost for peace to come to us. And that spread, of course, very naturally through all the communities throughout the country and then was made official much later on. But even our human experiences, right, even in our human communities, it's almost like automatic within us that we ought to be doing these things, that we ought to be able to use our memory in order to find what it is that our heart seeks. So also, right, in our life of faith, right, Jesus says, as you remember me, as you remember what I have done for you, you are going to receive the thing that the world can't give, that you seek most deeply of all, which is the peace that comes from being loved and loving God in return. What is it that we call the Eucharist, right? What is it that, like, as I pray the Eucharistic prayer every Sunday, I say the words of Jesus, and after the wine is consecrated into the blood, what does Jesus say? Do this in memory of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And Jesus says, after I go to the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to do what? To remind you, to bring to mind again to you all the things that I've said, all the things that I've done, so that peace we find ultimately is something that comes from within us, but it doesn't come from us. It comes from the one who dwells within us. Peace has to come. We have to find that interior peace within ourselves, that right ordering interiorly. And so peace is, in some respects, right, like a journey inward, but it's not a journey inward to our own devices. It's a journey inward to the one who is the other within us, God who is the other within us, God who is the one who loves within us. So then we find that peace truly dwells up. God dwells in you. You only have to look inward. And as we remember the sacrifices, the love of all of our family and friends, those who have gone before us, as those are examples to us of the love that we remember that Jesus gave to us there on that cross, that he gives to us every Sunday here at this altar of sacrifice, we receive what it is we most truly seek, which is the peace beyond all understanding, the peace that sustains us, especially in those moments of life that are quite difficult, and didn't the Lord know it? That he said this right before he died. He says, I say this to you beforehand, so that especially in those moments of difficulty, that's when you need to remember the goodness. That's when you need to remember my love. That's when you need to remember what I've done for you. That's what you need to remember what self-sacrifice looks like, so that you are sustained, especially in the lowest of lows. It's one of the great principles of the spiritual life, that in those moments of difficulty and suffering, we are invited by God to remember the good things that he has given to us so that we can be sustained and so that we may continue to believe. Right? It's not just this trite sort of sentimental action that we're like, oh, isn't that so nice? No, it's a theology lesson. It's a theology lesson. It's as deep as it is ordinary to your own life experience and to my life experience. Every once in a while, right, we get these moments in life where we get to see that again. Like, you know, like when we hold a baby. And as we hold that baby, we're like, yeah, they're pretty needy. I guess I am too. Yeah, don't they remember how it is that they come to their neediness being satisfied in peace by the gift of another? And so your peace and my peace will be given to us in the gift of God's own love.